When I first called my dad, open to what would be our final reunion, I asked him to bring me coffee. Living in Mexico City, a place that truly clears my head and creativity, meant finding a coffee that was as strong as the sun was impossible. Ciudad de Mexico is pretty expensive and bougie, like me. Yet we differ in what we deem a strong coffee versus one that will wake you the F up. I asked my dad to bring me coffee out of desperation and also a real questioning of whether this time he would give. I'll save my daddy issues with Salvatore Ferragamo for another blog, because a little disclaimer, my dad, there's an upcoming episode about this, and I mean, my dad was obsessed with taking me to the mall and buying really expensive gifts for his family and for himself and getting me nothing. I mean, if I asked for a potato chip, I would either get this show about, you know, oh my God, do I really need potato chips? I'm fat, I'm ugly, I'm spoiled. Or he would give it to me and I would have to praise him as if the potato chip was some form of child support. And you see, I do show up for you. And he loved Salvatore Ferragamo and Lululemons because apparently he was a woman named Haley deciding to open up a yoga shop in Brooklyn. He was a gringa opening up a yoga shop. I can't with him. But, he was just a very strange, selfish, evil man. And his obsession was Salvatore Ferragamo. We'd be there hours from trying on leather shoes like a Cinderella and just trying to pick his favorite glass slipper. And it was really sad because here I was, you know, I needed money. I needed money for books. I needed money for life. And my mother always gave to me, but that's a whole other dynamic that I have to approach as well. You know, both of them were obsessed that I was spoiled. And my mother loved the idea that she gave me so much, but she was very strict. And when she would take me shopping, especially if they were with her friends or with my grandmother family, she would do this very strange thing of also, if she got me something, I had to praise it. And if she didn't, she would go off about how this is a lesson on humbling your children. And I felt very overwhelmed growing up by the over-eagerness, even for different reasons and from different traumas, of my parents trying to humble me. And for my father in particular, I think my mother just genuinely wanted me to be such a good human being that it was overbearing. And my father really liked humiliating me and liked when I cried. He loved making me feel bad. He loved talking about how he gave to his other kids all the time, how well they were doing, how well he was going to make sure they were doing, and basically FDandra. So let's continue. Yeah, my father was a definition of flesh and blood and the ultimate consumer, from drugs to women and, of course, designer everything. It was strange and humiliating when he would visit me because he would take me to the malls to buy thousands of dollars worth of stuff for his kids, his grandkids, and other wife, but berate me that I deserved nothing and was already too spoiled. The sad part was it was all he ever wanted to do with me. Take me to the mall, watch him shop for all the things he would claim he could not give me, and eventually admitted he did not want to. Hence, the coffee was a big deal because it either meant he was trying to actually be good to me, or it would lead me to another verbal emotional assault like prior times before. When I saw my father, he looked and energetically felt exactly the same. Overgrown pinky nail with a gold ring to commemorate the cocaine he no longer snorted. Wads of money hanging from his pants to commemorate the taxes he evaded. And a flashy gold watch to make sure all was done in time. Yet this was a man that had told his family how much he missed me, even though he only wrote love letters to my mom. Never mentioned me beyond one instance where he said, if she wants to eat at a diner, then I will just take her there, just to get you back. For a girl in her 20s, what a series of body issues that stemmed from him calling me ugly and fat, a coffee was a bigger ask in perspective. On the phone, he said no, which he would always do, and sometimes turned into a yes when he saw me. Yet the reliving of such an old dynamic at the face of a fresh start was a warning that things were not that fresh. My father smiled at me after 10 years of not seeing each other. I was nervous and excited because what if he was a better human being? What if he did miss me? And unlike our last interaction where he said he did not love me, time had shown him I was worth loving. While I never felt it was my fault my dad did not love me, I did feel it was my job to make him do so. And the result was a relationship that I replicated in so many ways via lovers, friends, and bosses, the one who serves and hopes to receive. Although my father claimed to love me, his actions spoke differently, and I cannot always pinpoint why. Thus, when he smiled at me and handed me over an open coffee bag he wrapped in plastic, I realized why he never matched his words with his actions. Disrespect. He had taken a 7-hour flight with leftover coffee grinds from his pantry and looked at me like it was a diamond ring for his long-lost daughter. The worst part is that for a day, I acted like it was, and I found myself immediately going back to that little girl who was trained to be overly grateful for my father's mediocrity and even idiocy. Here, I was carrying an open bag of used coffee across Polanco, where he was staying in the penthouse of one of the most expensive hotels, and somehow, he did not see this was what made him so irredeemable. You cannot be the most materialistic person, defining how you love others by the gifts you give them, and then give me your used coffee like it's a Dior bag. Someone so obsessed with living luxuriously knows better. And when something is poor, which is why I resented myself for behaving so desperately to keep someone that was gone for a decade of my life because of behaviors where he dragged me upon a where he dragged me upon our reunion visit to help me find a rare Birkin bag he wanted to get for one of his good friends as a note of thanks. I guess she does not like open bags of coffee. Okay, so right here, and by the way, you could read this all in Daddy Recovery. One of the most frustrating parts of my relationship with my dad was, and I realized this in perspective, how disrespectful he was. Like, he had no respect for me. And he was the most materialistic person. And if you listen to Mint, the flavor of the poor, my dad was obsessed with how poor he was and how rich he was. And he was very, very, very materialistic, obsessed with money, obsessed with things. And had I given him a used coffee bag, he would have been insulted, deemed it poor. Like, he doesn't like homeless people. He's that guy who thinks they should work. He was homeless. He got educated. You know, he was never homeless, you know, but sorry, Carl. You would think he lived in a bale of straw somewhere, like in Puerto Rico. He was just that guy, you know? And when he gave me the open coffee bag and then took me to explain, he took me around Polanco to go buy a Birkin for one of his really good friends. And here I am with used coffee on this adventure. And my father's the type of person that'll take you into a store and tell you the history of Bottega Veneta and how he gave his granddaughter Bottega Veneta. And he's such a good dad and granddad. And I just thought, he's still a loser. He's still a loser. I mean, why do you still have a cocaine nail, sir? And what really perplexes me when I look back at that moment of my life is that I fell into my training so quickly. I was back to that little girl that just, oh, wow. Oh, an open youth bag of coffee. Oh my God. You know, oh, yes, let's get Birkins for all your good friends. Oh, yes. And it was amazing to me And I knew I was doing it. And then I would come back home and almost have to take like I had to take a shower, but like wash my soul, not just my body. Cause I could not believe, you know, here was this guy that I pushed out of my life for a decade. And even though I pushed him out, I still had it kept him out. You know, I thought about him a lot and his abuse. And I chose so many people to enter my life that were equally as abusive as him. And I couldn't believe that I was back in line, you know, back in the shape he wanted me. So let's continue. The worst part of my father's visit is that he continued to always tell me how he treated everybody better than me, as if that was supposed to impress me. Once again, asking him how he was became a laundry list of all the things he was buying himself and his loved ones. Sure, to some it may sound like it was just coffee and an act that was still nice, but I say to those some, you are a jerk that perhaps has been selective in who you demand love from versus who you display it for. When you are with someone that loudly proclaims all they do for others as they give you such less, you might as well deem their act a humiliation ritual. They do not love you. Love is respect. Love is kindness. Love is equality. It is empowerment. It is going above and beyond for someone you care for, whether this is asked for or not. It is detailed and memorable in the best ways. My father gave me nothing but an open bag of coffee. And the result was a realization of how much of my life I have just settled for. That, exactly that. People giving me their leftovers. Until they get someone they deem worthy a much better meal, rather better coffee. God, I am flubbing these today, but forgive me. I speak better in other ones, in other podcasts, audiobooks. But yeah, and you're going to see it in an upcoming episode. My sister, a few years before this reunion, had called me, saying that my dad really missed me, wrote me this letter, and it was time for me to know all that he did to get back to me and, you know, how much he fought for me. And I was like, who's this guy? Who's this man? Is this Ryan Reynolds? Who's this dad? And I felt really bad for her because I think my father understood if his family had to choose between having him and having me, you know, the other child, the product of his bigamy, they would choose him. And they would choose his lies and they would choose the fantasy of that this man didn't marry multiple women and truly fall in love with the second one, aka my mom. And he preferred to pit everybody against me. And it made me really resent him because it was unnecessary. And it was a choice he made solely to protect himself, not to protect me. And it was an exchange of my reputation, of my image, to these people. And what made me sad in the ultimate realization was that he had told them he missed me and that he regretted how we ended. And in the same way I fell back into the little overly grateful girl looking for gifts for everybody else with him, he fell back into the abuser. And he, you know, within an hour, he was calling me a lush, which is like a loose woman alcoholic. And I realized that he was using me to get pity from them. And he didn't miss me. He didn't love me. And I was just a plot in his scheme to get love from others. And it made me feel disgusted by him. And that's why I end the passage like that. You know, you shouldn't accept less, especially from somebody that not only demands more, but gives it to someone else. He chose not to love me. And for that, he is evil. All right. Check out daddyrecovery.com.